ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23। चैप्टर 23 इज एंटाइटल्ड द सॉन्ग ऑफ दावंती ब्राह्मणा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 6। अवंतिषु द्विज कश्चिद् आसीद् आद्यतमः श्रियः वार्तावृत्तिकधर्यस्तु कामी लुब्धोति कोपनः। अवंतिषु, इन दि अवंती कंट्री, द्विज ब्राह्मण, कश्चित अ सर्टन, आसित देयर वाज, आद्या तमः वेरी रिच, श्रिया विथ ऑप्युलेंसेस, वार्ता बाय बिजनेस, वृत्ति अर्निंग हिज लाइवलीहुड, कदर्य माइजरली, तू बट, कामी लस्टी, लुब्ध ग्रीवी, अति कोपनः वेरी प्रोन टू एंगर। ट्रांसलेशन, इन द कंट्री ऑफ अवंती देयर वंस लिव्ड अ सर्टेन ब्राह्मण हु वाज वेरी रिच एंड गिफ्टेड विद ऑल ऑक्युलेंसेस एंड हु वाज एंगेज्ड इन द ऑक्युपेशन ऑफ कॉमर्स, बट ही वाज अ माइजरली पर्सन, लस्टी ग्रीडी एंड वेरी प्रोन टू एंगर। Purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the Avanti country is the district of Malwa. This Brahmana was extremely wealthy, doing business in agriculture, banking and so on. Being a miser, he suffered agony when his hard-earned wealth was lost, as will be described by the Lord himself. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति श्वप्रदान्तिकं मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुलं गयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणम् वाञ्छाकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग अबाउट द पास्ट टाइम ऑफ अवंती ब्राह्मणा। नाउ दिस पास्ट टाइम लॉर्ड कृष्णा हैज स्टार्टेड नरेटिंग टू उद्धवा in response to a question which Uddhava asked to Lord Krishna at the end of the previous chapter. And this question which Uddhava asked Lord Krishna was that how do we develop tolerance when there are offenses being created against us? Because Lord Krishna started telling him that how a self-realized soul has so much of tolerance, even if some offenses are done against him, he is not on the bodily platform. He doesn't take the offenses to heart, but he has so much tolerance and he is so absorbed in his devotional service that he is able to tolerate all these offenses committed by someone. And in response to that statement, Uddhava asks Lord Shri Krishna that how does one develop this tolerance? So in response to that question, Krishna is replying with this pastime of the Avanti Brahmana. So Krishna has basically started talking about the Avanti Brahmana, because the whole pastime of Avanti Brahmana glorifies or brings out this quality of tolerance in a person. The Avanti Brahmana, as the pastime has started, he was an extremely rich merchant. He used to do agriculture business, and he had so much wealth, so much of opulences. But the problem was that he was extremely miser. And he was miserly to the effect that he was not spending money on his relatives, nor was he spending money on his own self to maintain his own body properly. He was guarding his wealth so well. He never used to receive guests properly, as will come in the next few verses, in his house, because he didn't want to spend money on them. And he always used to be angry, always used to be irritated, because he wanted to keep protecting his wealth. So eventually what happened when such a person is there in the family members were not very happy with this arrangement, because he was not giving any money for their subsistence. And therefore the family members were not treating him properly. They didn't have much affection for this Avanti Brahmana. And by the will of Providence, eventually he lost all his wealth. And he also lost, with that he also became very dejected. He was rejected by his family members because all his wealth was lost. And then in that moment, this Avanti Brahmana develops renunciation. And he starts wondering that, what was I doing all this time? And what have I wasted my life in? I was just gathering wealth, I was guarding it, and now everything is gone. My family members have rejected me, they have pushed me out, and I've lost all my wealth as well. So in that moment of renunciation, he decides to take sannyas. And he starts roaming around, as sannyasis normally travel. So in his course of travels, but the Avanti Brahmana is very... He is mistreated by many impious men. When he visits various villages, he is mistreated, many people used to spit upon him, or many people used to speak to him with very harsh words and insult him. And it's, Krishna says the words were so fierce that they used to penetrate the heart of the Avanti Brahmana. But the Avanti Brahmana was very equipoised through all this. And he was just tolerating all these offenses which were done to him by impious men, thinking that this is only coming because of my own past karma. The people who are doing these offenses against me are just the immediate cause. They are actually an instrument so that I get reactions for whatever past sinful activities I've done. So he just kept on tolerating all these offenses that were done against him. So the whole pastime of Avanti Brahmana brings out this essence, or brings out this quality of tolerance. And we see that Srimad Bhagavatam usually or very often keeps glorifying this quality of tolerance throughout its pages. Now, very similar to the Avanti Brahmana's pastime was the pastime of Jada Bharat. Jada Bharat was also a very self-realized soul. In fact, he was Maharaj Bharat, the king of the whole planet in his previous life. But because of his attachment to a deer, he became a deer in the next life, and then in the next life after that he became Jada Bharat. So Jada Bharat was a fully realized soul, but he always used to present himself as a dull man who doesn't know anything, as if he's not of this world. And he never used to speak, he never used to open his mouth. He just used to go around doing whatever work his stepbrothers used to give him. And he was very much mistreated by his stepbrothers. They used to make him stand like a scarecrow in the fields, and they used to give him all burnt food and some rejected food to eat. But Jada Bharat used to accept all that very graciously. And then one day when he was sitting as a scarecrow, he was caught by some dacoits to be offered to Goddess Kali, because they were looking for a dull man animal. A man who is almost like an animal, who doesn't have much consciousness and who is very dull. So they were looking for such a man to offer to Goddess Kali. And Jada Bharat didn't protest at all, even when the dacoits caught hold of him and took him in front of Kali. So Jada Bharat also had also displayed this quality of tolerance. He was totally above the bodily concept of life, and he used to just tolerate all these offenses which were being done to him. But usually it is said that the Lord doesn't accept when such offenses are done, and Goddess Kali did not accept it because she is a devoted servant of Lord Krishna. So when he was about, his head was about to be sheared off, Goddess Kali actually appeared. And she severed the heads of all the dacoits, saying that this is my devotee, this is a devotee of Lord Krishna. How can you even touch him? It is a great offense to harm a Vaishnava Brahmin. And in this way, Jada Bharat was saved getting killed by goddess Kali. And after that he was carrying the palanquin. Once he was carrying the palanquin of King Rahuguna. And during carrying this palanquin, he saw there were some ants on the street where he was carrying the palanquin through. And because he was such a self-realized soul, he did not even want to harm the ants. And therefore he was trying to avoid the ants and walk. And this was shaking the palanquin a bit. For which King Rahuguna got extremely angry with Jad Bharat. And there are many insulting words again, which Rahuguna also tells Jad Bharat. Very sarcastic words, very insulting words. He taunts him and he's very angry with him. But Jad Bharat is again tolerating these offenses which King Rahuguna is doing. He does not react at all. In fact, he tells King Rahuguna, that is the first time Jad Bharat actually opens his mouth and speaks. And he tells King Rahuguna that whatever you are saying is all correct. That I am a dull man, like Rahuguna had blamed him, had accused him of so many things. So he said, yes, I am a dull man, I don't have any bodily consciousness. Yes, you are the master, I am the servant. And then he goes on to give so many instructions to King Rahuguna. And as part of those instructions also, Jad Bharat also glorifies the virtue of tolerance. And he says that a person who is not on the bodily concept of life will be able to have this tolerance towards any offenses which are done. And because he is intensely absorbed in his devotional service to Krishna. So we see the pastime of Jad Bharat is very similar to the Avanti Brahmana. He was also a self-realized soul, but he was also tortured by impious man. But he again exhibits tolerance to all these things which were happening in his life. And it is written in Bhagavatam that Jad Bharat also used to think that I deserve all these things because I must have done something in the past. It is my own past karma which is coming back to me in the form of these offenses. And this quality of tolerance is displayed by many devotees in Bhagavatam. And one more pastime we see is of Maharaj of Chitraketu. Now when Shiva and Parvati were sitting, Chitraketu commits a seemingly very small offense, or actually it was not an offense by Chitraketu. But Parvati gets very angry with Chitraketu and she curses him that you will become a demon in your next life. And when he is called to inform that you have been cursed like that, Chitraketu was so equipoised because he was a great devotee of the Lord. So he just smiles and in fact he addresses Parvati as mother and with so much respect he addresses her. And he accepts the curse very graciously. Like we also see Parikshit Maharaj who accepts his curse very graciously from the hands of the Brahmin. So same way Chitraketu also accepts the curse very graciously. He does not retaliate at all, neither does he defend that no, it was not an offense which I actually committed against Lord Shiva. I was just smiling at Lord Shiva. It was not an offense that I did. No retaliation, no defense as well. But he accepts this, and at that time, Lord Shiva then talks to Parvati as soon as Chitraketu leaves. And Lord Shiva glorifies Chitraketu. He says that Parvati, you must be very beautiful, but look at the attractive qualities of the devotees of the Lord. And because of those attractive qualities which Chitraketu displayed of tolerating the curse which you gave him, such devotees of the Lord become more attractive than any other beauty of the world. These qualities of devotees, these saintly qualities or these godly qualities which devotees have developed because of their intense absorption in their service or in the remembrance of Radha and Krishna, give them these qualities like tolerance or being equipoised or being compassionate. All these qualities make the devotees very dear to the general population. So, but this tolerance is not an external act. It is not like the yogis that we see, the Ashtanga yogis who have so much of tolerance. We see in India, we see so many pictures sometimes that some yogis are standing in neck deep in icy cold water in winter. Or they are standing among four big fires and the sun on the top during scorching summer. So, and they are tolerating all these heat, cold, all these different kinds of distresses of the material world. But we are not talking of that sort of tolerance over here when we talk about all these devotees like the Avanti Brahmana or Jad Bharat or even Maharaj Chitraketu. We are talking about this tolerance which comes because they are intensely absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. Like it is said in Brahma's prayers in the 10th canto, Tatenu kampam susukshi manano, bunja evatma kritam vipakam. So there Lord Brahma says that, my dear Lord, your devotees, they keep tolerating whatever happens in their life and they are patiently waiting for those miseries which are happening in their life But having the full faith that in the end they are going to achieve you, or having the full faith that you are their only protector and maintainer, and this gives them the strength to tolerate all these dualities or tolerate all the things which are happening in their life. So it is not simply tolerance, but it is because devotees are absorbed in the remembrance of Radha and Krishna that their tolerance becomes more glorious, and it's glorified in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see Jadabharat, then we see Chitraketu, now we are seeing Avanti Brahman, who is being glorified by the Lord Himself, and our own Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was also an example of so much of tolerance and so much of compassion, and His appearance day is coming soon, so we thought we'll spend some time in meditating of some of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, which He displayed for all this, where He displayed so much of tolerance to bodily discomforts. So, and also, devotees have this quality of tolerance, like we see Srila Prabhupada or we see other devotees, they have this quality of tolerance because their worshipful Lord has also displayed this quality. And most of you must be knowing the pastime from the Krishna book of Bhrigu Muni. There was a gathering of sages, and the sages, as usual, when sages come together, they are always discussing about the pastimes of the Lord. And all the sages were discussing who is the supreme Lord from the three predominating deities of the world, that is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So they wanted to decide who is the supreme Lord, and therefore they appoint Bhrigu Muni as their chief, and they say that you go and find out who is the supreme Lord out of these three predominating deities. So first Bhrigu Muni goes to Lord Brahma. Now Bhrigu Muni is the son of Lord Brahma. Brahma is actually the father. So according to Vedic tradition, whenever a son meets a father, he is supposed to pay obeisances to the father. That is the way a son meets the father. But Bhrigu Muni did not do anything like that. He just stood there and he did not pay any obeisances to his father. And when Lord Brahma saw that his son is not properly respecting him, even though he is the father, Lord Brahma became extremely angry. And Bhrigu Muni could see from the face of Brahma that he is very angry. But by the mode of goodness, Brahma, because Brahma is the he is the creator of the universe, he is not an ordinary, he is the chief among the demigods, he is not an ordinary person. So he, even though he became angry, by the mode of goodness he controlled his anger and he did not say anything to Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni saw that Brahma did become angry, even though he had committed an offense on the platform of the mind by not paying obeisances. So from there, then Bhrigu Muni goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the brother of Bhrigu Muni, because Lord Shiva is also born from Lord Brahma. He came from between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. And when he goes to Lord Shiva, so when he meets the brother, he starts offending him by his words. He starts telling, because Lord Shiva is so happy to see my brother has come to meet me, so he is rushing to embrace Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni says, no, no, you stop there only. Don't come and embrace me, or don't come and touch me. You are such a this person, you are such a dirty person, you are always living in crematoriums. Look at your body, it is fully covered with ashes. So in this way, Bhrigu Muni says lots of insulting words to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva becomes extremely angry because of this insult by the words. And he almost takes up his trident and he is about to throw it at Bhrigu Muni. So then Bhrigu Muni sees that even Lord Shiva became angry when he committed an offense on the platform of words. And from there then Bhrigu Muni goes to the abode of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was, as usual, lying down on the coils of Ananta Sesh, and Lakshmi was massaging his feet. And when he goes to Lord Vishnu, Bhrigu Muni commits the greatest offense, which was a physical offense he commits to Lord Vishnu. He goes and he kicks the chest of Lord Vishnu. And when he kicks the chest of Lord Vishnu, he wanted to see the reaction of Lord Vishnu. And he sees that Vishnu is not at all affected by his kicking. In fact, Vishnu gets up and he starts talking to him. And he says that, my dear Brahmin, I'm sorry that I did not receive you properly, which is a Vedic etiquette that we should receive Brahmanas properly. I'm sorry that I committed an offense against you of not receiving you properly. And he said that scriptures glorify the lotus feet of Brahmins. And the scriptures say that the water which has washed the lotus feet of Brahmin can give liberation to people. So today I'm so happy that those same lotus feet have touched my body. But oh my dear Brahmin, my chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. So I hope your feet, your lotus feet, have not got hurt in while, you know, they touched my chest. So this is the conversation which Vishnu has with Bhrigu Muni, and Bhrigu Muni was really astonished when he saw the tolerance of Lord Vishnu. Because Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that Bhrigu Muni committed all the three offenses against Lord Vishnu. He committed an offense on the mind platform, on the words platform, and on the physical platform. So he, by kicking Lord Vishnu and not respecting him. But Lord Vishnu is totally unaffected. He just tolerated it. On the other hand, he apologized to Bhrigu Muni for the offense which seemingly he thought he had performed. So we see that Lord Vishnu displayed this quality of tolerance when some provoking situation was there in his life. And in that pastime, Srila Prabhupada writes a famous statement, which is like a mantra for all devotees, that the greatness of a person is known by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Because everybody will say that I'm very tolerant, because they are practicing devotees, they are developing all saintly qualities, so they will have tolerance, compassion, all the 26 qualities are developing in devotees. But Srila Prabhupada says that the test is when a provoking situation comes in the life. And at that time, are you able to tolerate it? That will determine whether you are great or no. So in that pastime, Srila Prabhupada writes this statement. And Srila Prabhupada himself was extremely tolerant. He was not only tolerant of all the bodily discomforts, but he was also tolerant of impious activities, offenses which were created by impious man throughout his voyage of establishing ISKCON. So today we'll discuss two pastimes from Srila Prabhupada's life, how he displayed this quality of tolerance. The first pastime displays this quality of tolerance to the bodily bodily discomforts, how he was totally beyond bodily discomforts. And the second pastime will reveal Srila Prabhupada's tolerance even towards his own disciples' shortcomings and indecisiveness, and also offenses by impious man. So the first pastime took place in Vrindavan, and it was 1974. And the Vrindavan temple was about, there was a grand inauguration which was planned for the, like an opening ceremony for the Vrindavan temple. And there was a major fiasco which happened during that time. Although all invitations had gone out already, and everything was printed, everything was ready for the grand opening to take place. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan, he saw that nothing was finished. Neither was the construction finished, nor was the altar finished. Everything was half done. And he saw that his servants were, Srila Prabhupada's disciples were very sincere, but they were also struggling hard, since they were all Americans and with the Indian bureaucracy system, getting some materials like cements and other construction material. For them it was very hard to go through this corrupt, sometimes there is so much corruption in the Indian system, government system. So the devotees were finding it very hard to procure all materials and all. So the construction was half done, and Srila Prabhupada was very upset, because his offering to Krishna was disturbed, or it was being obstructed. So in such situations, Srila Prabhupada used to be very heavy, and he used to chastise his disciples, because he wanted to bring the best out for the service of Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada was chastising his disciples, and he was trying to get things done very fast. And in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada fell extremely sick, and he started developing fever, and the fever was very high, it was almost 104 degrees. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant at that time. So Prabhupada was so sick that he had not eaten anything for 3 weeks almost because of the high fever. He had totally lost his appetite. He used to hardly have 3 slices of orange, or he used to have some slices of the chiku fruit which is available in India. So he had totally lost his appetite, so much of high fever. And in all this thing, he came to know that the mayor of Uttar Pradesh, whose name was Akbar Ali Khan, he was touring Vrindavan, and he wanted to visit our site, our Krishna Balram site. So Prabhupada was very excited. He said that, yes, we must receive this mayor properly and let him come and visit the site, because if the mayor is favorable towards us, then he may sanction some cement or some other construction materials that we need. So Prabhupada was always focused. It's not that he's a great man and therefore Prabhupada was just trying to sort of butter polish him, but Prabhupada was focused that my work can get done if I invite this mayor to the temple. So the devotees tell Prabhupada, okay, we'll invite the mayor, Prabhupada, but you take rest, because they saw Prabhupada was very weak and exhausted from his fever. But Prabhupada was insistent. He said, no, I have to meet this mayor. I have to talk to him. I have to give him this good impression about our temple so that he sanctions more constructing materials for us. So with that fever, Shrutakirti Prabhu helped Prabhupada to get up. He was hardly able to walk also. And it's 1974, so Prabhupada's age had also developed quite a lot. And then he started putting on tilak. And Shrutakirti Prabhu says that it took Prabhupada almost 5 minutes to even apply tilak. Prabhupada was so delirious, his hands were shaking, and he was not even able to perform a simple activity like applying tilak properly. So then Prabhupada went down on the veranda, and they had arranged a red carpet welcome for the mayor. So the mayor came, and he was garlanded with the maha garlands, and then he sat down and he gave a big speech on industrialization, how the most important thing in India is right now to be develop industrialization. Srila Prabhupada sat through all this, and then Srila Prabhupada spoke for 25 minutes in that condition. And Srila Prabhupada was extolling the glories of Vedic culture. Why is it so important to establish these temples, and why is it so important to retain Vedic culture in India? So after giving this speech, there was a big feast the devotees had prepared for the mayor. And although Prabhupada was tolerating bodily discomfort all this time by sitting and giving speech and all that, to top it all, Prabhupada sat with the mayor and he had the feast. Now, we all go through fever and flu many times, and when we have such high fever, we totally lose our appetites. We feel nauseous when we look at food. But Srila Prabhupada, just because he wanted the mayor to sanction some materials for his temple, he sat with the mayor and ate that whole heavy feast. And after they had the feast, he went and made farewell to the mayor. He put him in his car, and then the mayor went off. And as soon as the mayor's car left, Srila Prabhupada collapsed. And then the devotees had to literally carry him to his room. And when they checked, he had 105 degree fever again. So we see how Srila Prabhupada was totally beyond the bodily platform. He used to tolerate so much of bodily discomfort so that his service to Krishna is not disturbed. And later on, the Prabhupada's fever came down. And then he carried on with his normal teaching activities. So we see, and this quality of tolerance and also Prabhupada's compassion was revealed in one of the most legendary pastimes of ISKCON. This is one more pastime which happened in Juhu. Now most of you must have read about the Juhu temple project, how Srila Prabhupada had to go through a lot to construct that prestigious temple in the Juhu suburb of Bombay. So Prabhupada was very, very eager to establish a temple in Bombay. The devotees were living at that time in Malabar Hills, that is a very posh locality of South Bombay. They were living in a building called Akash Ganga, where in one of the apartments they had made like a small center for ISKCON of Bombay. So Prabhupada was not so happy with that. He wanted to preach to the elite people of Bombay who used to live in the suburbs, in the posh suburbs of Juhu and the surrounding areas. So he always used to feel that we must establish a temple in the suburbs. He used to keep telling his disciples. But the disciples were not very happy with that idea because they were all Americans and they thought the suburbs will be too austere for us. The Malabar Hills was more like, sort of more like America. There were so much comforts. They were among rich life members. So they were very happy living there. But Prabhupada was fixed and determined because Prabhupada had so much foresight. He was a visionary. He could see that there is a need of this temple and it is required to be established in the suburbs of Bombay to reach out to those elite people who live over there. So he came to know, he got the news that there was one Mr. N, and the name is not revealed even by Satswarup Maharaj in Leelamrita, so he calls him Mr. N. So one Mr. N was selling a property, like a piece of land in Juhu. And Prabhupada was very, very excited. He wanted to buy that land. So he agreed to give Srila Prabhupada 5 acres of land when he met Mr. N. And Prabhupada was so happy with that arrangement. And Prabhupada in fact remembered that when Srila Prabhupada, before he went to America, whenever Srila Prabhupada used to be in Bombay, he used to walk through that area, through that suburb, to go and meet Mrs. Sumati Morarji at her residence. Sumati Morarji used to live in that suburb. And Prabhupada used to sometimes go to her house to read the Srimad Bhagavatam to her and to give a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. So whenever Prabhupada used to pass through that suburb, Prabhupada used to actually look at that land and Prabhupada used to feel that it will be so nice if there was a big magnificent temple for Radha Krishna over here. And when he got this offer from Mr. N, Prabhupada felt that it is Lord Krishna who is wanting to fulfill my desire to build a temple. So Prabhupada jumped at the offer. Although he came to know from other sources that this Mr. N is a dubious person, he's got extremely high political connections and he's a very influential person in Bombay. There are so many people who are working under him. And he, in fact, he was the former sheriff of Bombay. And also he was the editor and the in charge of one of the biggest circulating newspaper of Bombay. So he had big clout, this Mr. N. But Prabhupada was undeterred. He said that, no, that's okay, but I have to get this land for building a temple for Radha and Krishna. So he met Mr. and Mrs. N, and at that time Mr. N was very cooperative, very friendly. He was putting on that false this thing of being very friendly. And they agreed on a term of 16 lakh, a value of 16 lakh for the land. And Mrs. N was not actually very happy because the value of the land was much more. But Mr. N said, no, it's for a charity organization. We must give all these parts they were both putting up. So they agreed on 16 lakhs as the total value. And the agreement for payment which Prabhupada made with him was that they will immediately pay 50,000 rupees. And then after some time they will pay one more 50,000 rupees, installment of one more 50,000 rupees. And as soon as they pay that 1 lakh, they will move into the land. And then after 1 lakh is paid, so initial payment of 2 lakhs will be done by them to Mr. N. And after they pay first 1 lakh, they will move into the land. And then they should be given the deed once they pay the remaining 1 lakh, like the title deed or the conveyance deed it was called. So Mr. N agreed for all these things. And then Srila Prabhupada was happy and he took his disciples to see the land. Like Kamal Krishna Maharaj and many other disciples were there. And when they saw the land, they were shocked. They told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, this is too austere. How can we build a temple here? And how can we live here right now? Prabhupada, we are all Americans. We need doorknobs. And we need showers. We need bathtubs. We need all these things. We need taps at least. But there is nothing here, Prabhupada. How are you expecting us to live in such a piece of land?
Only mosquitoes.
Yes, mosquitoes. So, but Srila Prabhupada told them, Srila Prabhupada became very grave and he said that, don't you want to get purified? And when the devotees heard, when the disciples heard this statement of Srila Prabhupada, it really touched their hearts. And they said that Srila Prabhupada is expecting right now that we do some sacrifice or we do some austerity and we tolerate all these difficulties or these austerities so that we can assist Srila Prabhupada in Lord Chaitanya's preaching mission. So the devotees realized Prabhupada was expecting that. And they said that, okay, we'll do that. So they moved into the land. They agreed to move into the land. So Prabhupada gave instructions to his disciples, what all, how they should pay the first 50,000, then they should pay the next 50,000, and he explained the whole steps, then you should move into the land, then you should pay the remaining money, get the deed. All these instructions Prabhupada came, and he left for Jaipur for some preaching activity. And that was for a very short time, and Prabhupada expected that when he comes back, the devotees would have followed his instructions. But when Prabhupada came back, he was shocked. He saw that the devotees had not taken any action at all. Neither they had paid any 50,000 rupees to Mr. N, nor had they moved into the land. And Srila Prabhupada was realizing that the devotees were having little bit of hesitation in their hearts to move into this land. So he spoke to Madhudvisa Swami, who was also there in Bombay at that time. And Madhudvisa Swami said, no, Prabhupada, I can't do it. I'm unable to take up this project. So I cannot handle this, Madhudvisa Swami said. So he didn't want to take up the managerial role over there. And there was no one to manage the temple. Prabhupada realized, because Prabhupada was an expert manager. So he realized that there is a strong manager who is required over here to push things forward. Because the devotees just were seeing it as a small piece of land which was really not cultivated and they were not feeling that there can be something done. But Prabhupada with his vision, with his foresight could see that there is a magnificent temple which can be built here. And this is the right suburb to do that. So then Prabhupada quoted a Bengali saying that when you want to get something done, you must do it with your own hand. Don't expect others to do it for you. So Prabhupada felt that Brahmananda Prabhu will be very ideal to handle this project at this time. But how to get Brahmananda Prabhu? Brahmananda Prabhu was preaching in Nairobi. He was in charge of the Nairobi preaching movement at that time. So Srila Prabhupada went all the way to Nairobi just to encourage Brahmananda Prabhu to come back and take up the managerial position. So he got Brahmananda Prabhu back into involved in the Bombay project. He made him in charge, and Brahmananda Prabhu and Mr. N and Prabhupada and the lawyer, they all met and they agreed on a contract. And then Srila Prabhupada went on a preaching tour. Again, I think he went on a preaching tour to South India this time. And this time again he gave some instructions and went. And this time the devotees agreed. This time the devotees actually followed Srila Prabhupada's, Prabhupada's instructions. They paid 50,000 rupees and they moved in. But what were they welcomed by when they moved in? Like Mahatma Prabhu was saying, there were so many rats on that land. There were so many mosquitoes. There were open sewages. It was horrible conditions for the devotees to live in over there. So it was very austere, but Brahmananda Prabhu, because he had been encouraged by Prabhupada, he pepped up all the devotees that no, we must live over here. Srila Prabhupada wants us to establish a temple over here. So Brahmananda Prabhu organized a Pandal program. Like Prabhupada instructed him, organize a Pandal program on the land itself so that we start attracting people. And people come to know that there is a temple which is going to be constructed here. And in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada played a very big transcendental trick. What he did was, he invited Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihariji, who are the presiding deities of that temple, to come and live there. And when the devotees came to know, they objected. They said, Prabhupada, the conditions are too austere. How can we look after the deities in such conditions? There is not even a proper temple over here right now, and why are you planning to bring the deities? And Prabhupada said that, no, once the deities take proprietorship of this land, then no one can move them out. Let them come and claim their proprietorship on this land. So Prabhupada actually brought Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihariji. And when he brought them, there was a temporary shed-like thing which was constructed to house the deities. And when Prabhupada brought the deities, he folded his hands and he prayed to them. He said that I'm bringing you in such conditions, but I promise you that I will build a very magnificent temple on this very site for you. But till then you stay here in these conditions. He requests the deities like that. Prabhupada had that personal reciprocation with the deities. And then once the deities were there, Brahmananda Prabhu organized that big Pandal program to attract all the people. So, and as usual, which happens with ISKCON, which happened for us also in Melbourne, when the devotees started doing all these Pandal programs, and because the deities were there, they started doing aarti and all the offerings, the neighbors started complaining. So the neighbors started complaining of noise, and the neighbors started complaining of all the activities of the devotees, and the neighbors were very angry with Mr. N, first of all, because they were living on the property of Mr. N, and Mr. N was not looking after their properties very well. He was not maintaining the properties, and he was not giving them enough facilities and all. So the neighbors started complaining, and the devotees started feeling the tension because the neighbors were complaining. And Brahmananda Prabhu's enthusiasm also was going down. And he told Prabhupada that, no, the Nairobi preaching is getting affected. I have to go back to Nairobi, Prabhupada. So Brahmananda Prabhu left for Nairobi. Madhudisa Swami left for Australia. He said, I can't handle this project, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada was left without a manager. And Prabhupada knew that this project is very big. It really needs a manager, because Prabhupada was always touring and preaching. He personally could not stay there all the time to fully manage the project. So Prabhupada said that management is very simple, and you require a simple man to do management. And for that reason, Prabhupada identified none other than Giriraj Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Because Giriraj Maharaj was such a simple person, and Giriraj Maharaj was very, very Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada said that this will be an ideal manager to handle the Juhu project. And he goes and asks Giriraj Maharaj that, will you be able to take up this role? And Giriraj Maharaj also wanted to say no, actually, because he had heard from the other devotees how hard it is, this Juhu project. But he knew by theory, theoretically he knew that if the Guru asks you something, you should not refuse it. So just based on that, he said, okay, Prabhupada, I'll do it. And after a few days, Srila Prabhupada was looking at Giriraj Maharaj, and he winked at the other devotees and he said that, Giriraj, all the burden is on you now to execute this project. And Giriraj Maharaj recalls that, I was so scared at that time, I was literally trembling. How am I going to handle this project? And Prabhupada himself is saying that it is such a big burden. But still Giriraj Maharaj accepted, and Srila Prabhupada personally glorified Giriraj Maharaj. He said that Giriraj Maharaj has two wonderful qualities. He is very submissive and he is very Krishna conscious. And because of these two qualities, Giriraj Maharaj will be able to execute this project. Prabhupada had that faith in him. So by this time, the devotees had all paid 2 lakhs rupees to Mr. N. And once they have paid 2 lakhs rupees, the next thing was that they should get the deed or the title on the name of ISKCON from Mr. N. And they had to just start constructing. So Srila Prabhupada then left on a major world tour. And he got the news that N was keeping on demanding money from the devotees. And because Giriraj Maharaj was so simple and innocent, he used to keep paying. N said, no, you have to give. Mr. N said, no, you have to give 7,500 rupees for so and so purpose. And Giriraj Maharaj somehow used to manage those funds and give it to him. And Srila Prabhupada, he got the news when he was on his tour. He got the news that Mr. N is keeping on demanding all this money. Srila Prabhupada was very angry. Not only with Mr. N, but with his disciples also. He said that, why are you paying? We've already, the installments which we had agreed on for the initial down payment, we have already done all that. So now Mr. N has to just give us the title deed. Why are you paying any more money to him? And Giriraj Maharaj so innocently said that because he is asking him fame. So he was really getting this thing. So Srila Prabhupada started doubting the efficiency of his managers also, because he saw Giriraj Maharaj was too simple. He was just keeping on paying Mr. N whatever he wanted. So then Srila Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj, no, now you don't give him any more payments and you go and get the deed from Mr. N. You just press for the deed to him. So Giriraj Maharaj went to Mr. N. But Mr. N told Giriraj Maharaj, he was very, very tricky person and extremely hard nut to crack. So then he played another trick on Giriraj Maharaj. He said that, no, you first give me 5 lakh rupees. And Giriraj Maharaj was shocked. He said, the agreement doesn't mention anything like that. Why are you asking for 5 lakh rupees? So Mr. N says that, no, this 5 lakh rupees is for, it is for sales gain tax. So then Giriraj Maharaj was surprised. He said, this was not agreed upon. So then he did some inquiry and he found out that the sales gain tax has to be paid by actually the seller of the land, not by the buyer of the land. So he goes and tells that to Mr. N, that it is you who are supposed to pay this 5 lakhs. And then Mr. N says that, yeah, I am supposed to pay, but I don't have money to pay. So you give me the money, he is telling Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj said that, where will I bring 5 lakh rupees from? Even the 2 lakh was so hard for us to pay you. So he says that you have so many big temples in America and all. Go and get from there or get a loan from the bank. So Giriraj Maharaj actually went to the bank to apply for a loan for 5 lakh rupees. But the bank refused. The bank said that you don't have any credit standing. Obviously the banks need some backs, you know, like a credit standing or some support to give you a loan. So the bank refused. And then they mentioned it to Srila Prabhupada and that all these things are happening. And in the meantime, Giriraj Maharaj also found out that Mr. N had sold the same property to one more firm. Yes. So actually Mr. N had double sold that property. He sold the property to ISKCON, to Srila Prabhupada, and he also sold the property to another firm. And using his political influence, Mr. N had stopped that firm from beginning any construction by using all these, you know, different technical jargons of agreements and all. He had got that firm to stop the construction somehow. And now there were two firms which were claiming proprietorship over the land, the devotees, that is ISKCON and that firm as well. And Giriraj Maharaj realized that any one firm which will win because of its connections or because of its clout, the other firm is going to lose the money and the land. So Giriraj Maharaj wrote all this to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada kept insisting that, no, you get the deed, you get the deed. That is the main thing which you all need to get now. So this time again he went. Giriraj Maharaj went to Mr. N. And this time Mr. N told him that, how can I give you the deed? You have to first get permission from the Charity Commission of India. Now this was another trick and Giriraj Maharaj was not aware. He said, you never told us all this before. He said, yeah, you all are a public charitable organization, so you need permission from the Charity Commission of India before I can give you anything or before you can start constructing. And this time Giriraj Maharaj then actually went to the Charity Commission office. It was a government office. And there he was informed that what you are coming now to ask for permission, you had to take permission 6 months before the agreement was signed. And again, Mr. N was trying to trick the devotees by using all these things. And Giriraj Maharaj was really perplexed about what to do. So Giriraj Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada. He also wanted to give up now. He was so tired. He wrote to Srila Prabhupada that it is too difficult, Prabhupada. Mr. N is keeping on telling. First he said some sales gain tax and I have to pay him 5 lakh rupees. Now he is saying that there is no permission from the charity commissioner. How can I give you the title deed? So he's keeping on saying all these things, plus there are complaints from the neighbors and there is so much of rats, mosquitoes. So Giriraj Maharaj said that I can't do it. And Srila Prabhupada knew that the project cannot go on without a manager being there. So Srila Prabhupada told him, you please wait, I'm coming back, because Prabhupada was on a world tour. You please wait, I'm coming back and I will come and tell you what all needs to be done. Till that time, don't give up your managerial position. Be the temple president of that project. And then Srila Prabhupada himself started writing to Mr. N and his own lawyer, Prabhupada's own lawyer. And he was not getting any responses. He kept writing letters. And ultimately, one day Srila Prabhupada got a letter from the lawyer saying that I'm not your lawyer anymore. I'm resigning as the lawyer. I'm giving up these services. And slowly Srila Prabhupada started coming to know that this was all a big plot actually. The lawyer was actually hand in glove with Mr. N. And that is why the devotees are not getting any support from the lawyer on how to tackle Mr. N. So Srila Prabhupada was seeing through the plan of Mr. N that he was really a cheat and he was trying to cheat the devotees of the 2 lakh rupees and not give them the land also. So Srila Prabhupada was one who was not to give up. He was undeterred by all this. He was not a person who would let go. He was very determined to build a land over, to build a temple over there. So Srila Prabhupada then instructed the devotees. He said that you put, because Prabhupada was so smart, he was so worldly smart in all these things, that he was really a force which Mr. N had to reckon with. So he told the devotees that now you put ads in the newspaper. You reveal Mr. N. And he said put ads in the newspaper saying that the Hare Krishnas have entered into a land agreement with Mr. N. So the next day these headlines were there in some of the major newspapers of Bombay. And you know it was then public, it was like a public thing that Mr. N has entered into an agreement with Hare Krishnas. And you know then Mr. N could not start, continue with his dubious plans. So then when Mr. N saw this, he was really enraged by the ad. And in the meantime, Prabhupada realized that Giriraj Maharaj was too simple to handle this project alone. So he said, I must garner more support for Giriraj Maharaj. So then he talked to some of the stalwarts of ISKCON, like Kamal Krishna Maharaj, and Bhavananda Prabhu, Karandara Prabhu, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Mm-hmm. And he told all of them that you will go to Bombay and you will support Giriraj Maharaj. This project needs to be done. We need to get this land. So y'all, all of y'all go and help. So Mr. N was so enraged by the ad that he came down to violence now. So he started physically abusing the devotees. And he told them that right now I'm cancelling this agreement. Because he was being exposed in the newspapers before the public of Bombay. So he said right now I'm cancelling this agreement. Y'all, all of y'all get out of the land. Give me my land back. Like that he started, and you all have lost your 2 lakh rupees also. I'm not giving you any money back and you all just get out of the land. And Giriraj Maharaj was so taken aback by this violent behavior of Mr. N. So Giriraj Maharaj, because he was so simple and so Krishna conscious, he pleaded with Mr. N and he apologized. Sorry, we gave this ad in the paper. He started apologizing and he also did full dandvats to Mr. N, saying that please don't ask us to move off this land, we will take care in the future. All these things he started doing. But Mr. N was not happy at all. He was not a person who was appeased. So what he did was he shut water supply to the land and he also employed hooligans who used to stand outside the land brandishing machetes and weapons and all. And the devotees were getting so scared of all these things. There was no water and there are hooligans standing outside over there. So even Kamal Krishna Maharaj and Shyam Sundar Prabhu, they also wrote a letter when all this was going on. They wrote a letter to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we must relinquish this land. There is no point in fighting with Mr. N. He is an extremely crooked person. So let us relinquish this land. And the devotees, even Kamal Krishna Maharaj and everyone was surprised that why is Prabhupada tolerating so much just for this piece of land? Because Prabhupada had the foresight that there will be a big magnificent temple and Prabhupada had a personal promise with Krishna that I'm going to give you a temple. But the devotees were really getting fed up with Mr. N's tactics. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, y'all don't give up. In fact, he read the agreement very scrutinizingly and he said that I know that we didn't take permission from the charity commission. But he said the permission has been delayed. It has not been denied by the charity commission. So he said, okay, gather 5 lakh rupees. He started giving practical tips to the devotees. He said, okay, gather 5 lakh rupees and somehow you give that to Mr. N to get the charity commissioner's permission. So like that, Srila Prabhupada gave practical tips to the devotees, but Mr. N was still threatening all the devotees. And he kept threatening, he kept using violence, he kept employing all these hooligans. In fact, he employed one person to distribute some flyers, which was like an anti-propaganda against the devotees, that these devotees are doing dubious activities in the land and all these things. So the devotees were really getting fed up. But again, Srila Prabhupada's expert advice, he said, you'll file a criminal case against Mr. N this time. Because he's doing all these things with you, you can file a criminal case. So the devotees actually did that. And that was a big blow for Mr. N. And Mr. N did not realize that when he had entered the agreement with this old man and his few American disciples, he had not realized that it was a big force he had to reckon with. And he was so upset by this criminal case which was filed against him. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada had come down to Hyderabad from his world tour. And Mr. N happened to be there. And Prabhupada said to Shyamsundar Prabhu that you somehow get Mr. N to meet me. And Shyamsundar Prabhu had very good relationships with Mr. N, because Mr. N was very fond of Shyamsundar Prabhu's daughter, Saraswati. So he got Mr. N to somehow meet Srila Prabhupada. And Mr. N by now was, well, because Prabhupada first put that ad in the newspaper, then they did a criminal case. So Mr. N was really scared of Prabhupada, and he thought Prabhupada may play some tricks on him. So he took his guru with him to meet Srila Prabhupada. He thought that this guru will protect me if Srila Prabhupada does some tricks on me. So they kept talking, Srila Prabhupada and the guru and Mr. N, they all kept talking, and Prabhupada had a big feast served to them. And then he saw the guru was yawning and all that. And the guru told Srila Prabhupada, you must be tired, Swamiji, you should take rest. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, yes, I'm very tired, we should all take rest. And then Mr. N and the lawyer, guru, they go to sleep in one room. And then Srila Prabhupada calls Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he says that whenever a person says he's yawning and he says, you must be tired, you rest, you have to realize that that person is actually tired. And that is why I told him, yes, I'm tired and you'll go and take rest. But he says that now you go and see, the lawyer must be fast asleep. The guru must be fast asleep. So you bring Mr. N quietly to me and come. So Prabhupada was so expert in all these matters. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually goes and he sees that the guru was snoring because he had had a big feast. And he quietly wakes up Mr. N and he brings him to Srila Prabhupada. He says, Srila Prabhupada wants to meet you. So without the guru's imposing presence, Srila Prabhupada then spoke to Mr. N freely. And he said that now let's forget all the past and let's enter into one more agreement. And Srila Prabhupada and Mr. N, they filed a new agreement. And after that, Srila Prabhupada thought, okay, now things will go smoothly because I've filed a new agreement with him. So Srila Prabhupada then went to Ahmedabad for his preaching activities. And then he got the most shocking news in Ahmedabad. He got the news that the devotees had cancelled the agreement. And he was really surprised. He said that, why did you all do that? Now everything is finished almost. And the devotees said, like Shyamsundar Prabhu, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and all said that, no, our lawyer, because they had had a new lawyer by the time. Those say that, no, our lawyers convinced us that right now is the time. If you don't cancel this agreement, you will lose your 2 lakh rupees and whatever other small payments you have done. You will lose all that money. So cancel it, at least get your money back, because it's difficult to get the land back. But Prabhupada was not going to give up. He said that, no, nothing is cancelled. You have to stay on the land. Don't move out of the land. Anything happens, don't move out of the land now. And although so much of anxiety was going on in Prabhupada's life regarding this project, and there was so much of tension, but Srila Prabhupada, instead of losing his faith or instead of giving up his service to Krishna, he was intensifying his service to Krishna. Like sometimes we see as devotees, when we go through a phase when there's so much anxiety in our life, our some of our services start weakening. We think, okay, I'll do this later, let this anxiety period get over. We just manage our bare minimum services of chanting, etc. But other services we keep postponing because we are going through a bad situation. With Srila Prabhupada was not like that. In fact, Srila
Prabhupada said no compromise.
Yes. And Srila Prabhupada kept on intensifying his preaching. So at that time he organized that big Pandal program in Bombay, in South Bombay, where 20,000 devotees used to come daily. So Prabhupada was continuing with his preaching activities. So then this time, because Mr. N was not still giving the title deed to the devotees, this time again Mr. N and Prabhupada met. And then in this meeting they were barely civil to each other. Srila Prabhupada was so angry with Mr. N, and Mr. N was also chastising Srila Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada that why are you claiming proprietorship over this land? This land does not belong to you now. Why are you claiming ownership? And Srila Prabhupada said, we are not the owners of this land. It is Radha and Krishna who are the owners of this land. Why don't you just give us the land? We have given you the money. And Mr. N was so angry. He said that I am personally going to break this temple. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you don't want to give us the land, then you give us our money back. And you take your land back. Because he knew Mr. N was not even going to give him the money back. And Mr. N said, no money, nothing I'm giving you. I will personally come and break this temple and I will take your deities out from there. What you're saying, they are the owners of this land. I am the owner of this land. Mm-hmm. And he storms out of the room. And after a few days, Mr. N, because he had committed such a big offense to Prabhupada and the deities, he gets a massive heart attack and he passes away. Mm-hmm. And now when Srila Prabhupada gets the news, he folds his hand and he says that even a sadhu is happy when a snake is killed. So then Mrs. N took charge of the whole project, and Mrs. N was not as strong as Mr. N, but she was determined not to give the land to Srila Prabhupada. So she employs some municipal, like there is like how we have council in Australia, like that there is municipalities in Bombay for certain suburbs. So she employs some municipal officers, she uses her political influence, and she gets those municipal officers to come and demolish the temple. And to come and demolish whatever quarters and everything the devotees had constructed. And so many municipal demolition team comes with big bulldozers and big sledgehammers and all these things. They come on the property and they start demolishing everything that the devotees had constructed. And along with them, policemen also came. And they started dragging the devotees to jail. Even the Matajis were being dragged by their hair. And so much of these things were going on the land. And one Mataji managed to call up one of the most influential persons of Bombay. And through his influence, they got a stay order, like a stop order on the demolishing activity by the municipality. And at that time, they had just reached the temple and they were about to demolish the temple where the small shed where Radha Rasti Hari were living. And at that point, he got a phone call. That person got a phone call or some letter. I don't know what was the system at that time. He got a letter saying that you have to stop demolishing. This is a stay order which has come on the demolishing. But part of the temple was already demolished. And this happened on a Friday. And on Monday, there was a court case in which the devotees filed. And the judge said that it's already Friday. So Monday morning, I will give the verdict. Whether the temple can be done, whether it can be constructed, not constructed and all that. And in the meantime, there was massive propaganda in the newspapers which started, the devotees started doing that your temple of Radha Krishna was demolished. And, you know, they tried to touch upon the Hindu sentiments of the Bombay people. And that way they were generating a lot of propaganda against Mrs. N, that she is demolishing a Radha Krishna temple and all that. And in these, it had happened on Friday and Monday the judge was going to give the decision. So in these 2 days, Giriraj Maharaj decided that it is better that we reconstruct the temple. Whatever has been demolished, we reconstruct it quickly in these 2 days. And there was a contractor who was so favorable to Srila Prabhupada and he wanted to do some service to Prabhupada. So he assures the devotees that in 2 days I will rebuild whatever has been demolished. And this was around June of 1972 or 73. And it was raining heavily. In June there is heavy rains in Bombay. But amidst that rains, that contractor managed to construct and he rebuilt the temple for the devotees by Sunday night. And on Monday morning, during the court case, the devotees presented to the judge that the temple is already built. There is a temple over there and why you should demolish. And then the judge gave the verdict that whatever has been built, has been built. The temple will no longer be demolished. That temple will stay there. That is the judgment which the judge gives. And the devotees were so happy. And Mrs. N realized that because so much of court case has gone on, she realized that the public sentiment was totally against her right now. So finally she agreed. She said that, okay, I will sign an agreement with Srila Prabhupada. And she was not as strong as Mr. N. So she finally agreed. And she cried. She also cried and she begged forgiveness from Prabhupada that we are sorry. I'm sorry that you had to go through all these things just for this temple. And then Mrs. N and Srila Prabhupada signed the agreement. And Giriraj Maharaj recalls that when Mrs. N and Srila Prabhupada were signing the agreement after this massive struggle for 2 years, it looked as if two world superpowers were signing a treaty. It looked like that. Giriraj Maharaj recalls. So they signed the agreement, they agreed on a value of 18 lakhs, final value of 18 lakhs for the land, and Srila Prabhupada agreed to all those terms and conditions. And then they had a huge feast after that. And Srila Prabhupada then told the devotees that the actual price of this land is 50 lakh rupees. Now, any of you who are aware of Bombay, that land, Juhu land, it's in a very, very prestigious location of Bombay. It's a very posh locality. And the land prices are extremely high in that suburb. So Prabhupada said that the value of this land was actually 50 lakh rupees. But somehow or the other, because Radha Krishna wanted to come there, that is why we got it for such a low price. And Devamrit Maharaj was saying once in a lecture that Srila Prabhupada later on said that by business logic or by business acumen, I would have never entered into this land agreement with Mr. N. But he said that because I had made a promise to Radha Krishna, Krishna somehow covered my intelligence and he made me go ahead with this. But by business logic, it wouldn't have worked out. And he said that because of this promise and because Radha and Krishna wanted to come, that is why all this fell in place. And they were just mercifully fulfilling my desire to build a big temple for them. That is what Srila Prabhupada has revealed. So it is this strong desire which Srila Prabhupada had to serve Radha and Krishna, which gave him so much of tolerance. And Satswarup Maharaj writes like a small purport to this whole episode in the Leelamrita. He says that this pastime reveals two major qualities of Srila Prabhupada. The first quality is tolerance, like we are discussing in this Avanti Brahman's pastime. And tolerance not only to bodily discomforts, but tolerance also to the indecisiveness and the shortcomings and inexperience of his disciples. How he had to tolerate, he had to keep them as managers, he had to keep guiding them. So he tolerated all this also, and plus he was tolerating all these nefarious activities by impious people like Mr. N and the lawyer and all these things. And the second quality which comes out is Srila Prabhupada's compassion. So when the municipality was demolishing the temple and Prabhupada got the news, Srila Prabhupada could have just thought that I have so many other temples in all over the world. I have so many temples where my preaching activities are going strong. But Srila Prabhupada had that intense compassion that no, the people of Bombay should also benefit by preaching of Krishna consciousness, and this will benefit them. If this big temple is there, it is going to benefit the people of Bombay. So it was his compassion for the people of Bombay that Prabhupada wanted that temple to be constructed on the Juhu land. So at the end, how do we develop? When we read about all these qualities of the devotees, we see how even Srila Prabhupada's disciples tolerated so many austerities, and Prabhupada himself had so much of tolerance. So how do we develop all these qualities which are glorified by Srimad Bhagavatam? And the answer is that by the association of saintly devotees, we can also develop all these qualities. It is said, a devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada, but how do we know who is a saintly person? And Srila Prabhupada says that the saintly person is one who is addicted to Krishna. That is a saintly person. So any devotee who increases our attachment to Krishna, and any devotee who is so addicted to Krishna that he is always talking about pastimes, he is always talking about Krishna, we must associate with such devotees, because by association of such devotees we will develop all these qualities. And like it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, prasangam ajaram pasam atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dwaram apavritam. It says that attachment to material things is very entangling in this material world. But when the same attachment is transferred to a sadhu, sa eva sadhu shukrito, when the same attachment is transferred to a sadhu or a saintly person, moksha dwaram apavrita, it opens the door to liberation. So Srila Prabhupada is one such person who has so much of tolerance in him and who had all these saintly qualities in him. So if we associate with Srila Prabhupada and his disciples who also have all these qualities, then we can also aspire to develop all these qualities of tolerance, compassion and equipoise, equanimity, which are mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's time up now, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.